So we're reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapter 9, and we're concluding the story of this Shatapaharya Leela. Lord Chaitanya, it's technically called Shatapaharya Mahaprakash Leela, Mahaprakash, where he, Prakash, or Lord Chaitanya, manifested in the house of Shivas Thakur, his Aishwarya, that's what he manifests, his Maha Aishwarya, his feature as God, Bhagavan, Vaikunthanath. And he summoned the presence of his old friend and eternal associate, Kulavecha Sridhar, the banana salesman, who was a Brahmin taking a humble position and profession of selling bananas and banana leaves. And of course, this Kulavecha Sridhar is none other than Madhumangal. And Krishna Leela Madhumangal is very funny, engages in so much humor. He's a Brahmin. He was coming from Ujjain, and he joined Krishna in Vrindavan and became his fast friend and very intimate friend. And it's interesting to note this, the parallel in behavior, because Madhumangal, not only is he fond of ladus, and we sing a song about Ladu Kai. There's a song called Bhog Artik. Bhaja Bhagata Vatsala Sri Gora Hari, Sri Gora Hari, Sohi Goshta Bihari. So in that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which called Bhog Artik, which one sings when he offers the Lord his breakfast or whatever, there's one line where it says, Madhumangal Ladu Kai, Deya Hari Bolo. Says that Madhumangal, he's sitting there with Balaram and he's taking prasadam. Krishna, Balaram, Madhumangal, and Sridham Subha, other coward boys. This is Pratak Bhog. This is Pratak Kal, Krishna's breakfast. Although generally, in ISKCON, the song is sung at noontime, but the bhajan itself is Astakaliya Bhajan, given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's actually meant for Balya Bhog. Not Balya Bhog, but you can say breakfast time. Because if you read the song, it says that the coward boys are all sitting down in lines in Yashoda Bhavan, Nanda Bhavan, and Yashoda is serving them out, and Radharani has cooked everything in the kitchen, and that's all going on in the morning, nowhere else. Not in the evening time in Nanda Bhavan, and not in the midday, because that's Radhakund, and the coward boys aren't there. So the contents of the song is very clearly indicating that the pastime that the song is describing is 7 o'clock in the morning, the breakfast at Nanda Bhavan every morning. Radharani comes from Barsana or Yavat Gram and cooks Krishna's breakfast, and all the boys are there, and he showed us serving, and Radha's in the kitchen. So one line there says that Madhumangal, he eats so many ladus, he's very fond of ladus. And after receiving the ladus, then he puts his palm of his hand under his arm and makes a sound, Hari Bolo. He chants Hari Bolo and makes a sound, womp, womp, womp. And there's a sound you can make. Maybe girls don't know, ladies don't know so much about that. And city boys don't know either. But in the country, they do all kinds of antics and funny stuff like this. So just like you can go like this and get some sound to come out, make some sound. So if you put your hand under your arm and go like this, go whoosh, whoosh, and it makes sounds like a funny sound. And so Madhumangal does this while he's eating breakfast with all the coward boys, and Krishna makes a funny sound, everyone laughs, because he's a joker. But not only that, it's described in Madhyankal, which is about 10:48 in the morning until 3:36 in the afternoon. Then Krishna spends that 5.5 hours in Radhakund, mostly with the gopis, but he goes there with Subal and Madhumangal. And when Krishna becomes preoccupied with in solitary with Radharani, then he advises Brindadevi. He says, Brindadevi, take Madhumangal to the banana patch, because surrounding Radhakund there are various kunjas and gardens. There's some flowers, there's some fruits, there's some coconut trees. There's different groves, forest groves, coconut grove. So there's one area, banana grove, Kala grove, There's so many bananas there. So Mother Mangal is very fond of bananas, not only ladus. So there in Govinda Lilamrita describes how Krishna tells Mother Mangal, go busy yourself eating bananas, because I'm going to busy myself with Radharani. So there's some different engagements for different devotees or different persons. So Madhav Mangal is busy eating bananas and Krishna is busy with whatever he's in, with Radharani. So here it's interesting that Madhav Mangal, he likes bananas and he's a Brahmin. Then when he comes into Gaur Lila, he comes as Kolavecha Sridhar. And Kolavecha means seller or seller or salesman. And he's a seller of kola, which means kela, which means banana. So he's selling bananas and dealing in banana leaves. So there's some parallel. In both leelas, they're Brahmins, and both leelas, they're dealing with bananas. So that we've discussed that leela. And he has summoned the Sridhar Kolavesha to see him in his Vaikuntha roop. And Kolavesha was offering so many prayers. And then that's where we left off. And then we concluded all the prayers that were given. And then the Lord asked Sridhar if he wanted any benedictions. And Sridhar said, all I want is that life after life I will see you as that young Nimai Pandit arguing over the price of my banana leaves. And I will be quarreling with you. And if you want to give me more, then bless me with your holy name. And bless me with pure devotional service. That's all I want. And so now we're at the end of the story. It's being concluded. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving some tattva now. Tattva means the truth. We heard Leela. We heard the beautiful exchanges of Leela and the love between the Lord and his devotees and the humor and the fun and the human-like dealings that Gauranga had with Sridhar. And then now, Vrindavan Das is summarizing, or let's say not summarizing, but he's giving some preaching points here. And he concludes this chapter by giving lots of verses about Vaishnava Parad, which is one of the main themes. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is of course, a Rasa Shastra, but there's so much Siddhanta there. Chaitanya Charitamrita is very much philosophy and Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness, and Jiva Tattva is there, and the Bhagavan Tattva, Shakti Tattva, Radha Tattva, Prema Tattva, many things are described there. Chaitanya Bhagavat is also philosophy, but it's mostly about Vaishnava behavior, and of course when we discuss Vaishnava behavior, the ideal or optimum behavior, how Vaishnavas should exchange with each other, not only teaching how to do it, but then showing the examples of Vaishnava behavior in the lives of Lord Chaitanya's devotees and how they interacted and dealt with each other. And there's so many warnings and about Vaishnava Parad, because this is ever-present. Because when dealing, I mean, this idea, sometimes we think we come to Vaishnava circles, oh, Vaishnava Parad, what is this, some new concept? Because in social dealings, we don't think that this exists. But this also exists in social dealings. We can also make an offense to our mother. We can also make an offense to our father. We can offend them by speaking incorrectly or acting incorrectly towards them or being disrespectful or not behaving correctly. They can become offended. This is a human response. This is a basic human response to some behavior, wrong behavior. So it's not a new idea or new concept of life or human interactions. The concept of the term aparad, maybe we never used before, Vaishnava aparad. But now when we move into a circle or the society of Vaishnavas, those who have surrendered their lives to Radha and Krishna and Gauranga, then the consideration of very proper and correct dealing comes into play. How to interact with different levels of devotees, how to be, it's not all one. Devotees are on different levels and we have to learn a different protocol and way to behave towards juniors or equals or seniors. And if we don't learn the standards or act in ignorance of the standards, then we will suffer the reaction. They may be offended, they may be upset, And then Krishna will be upset. We have to learn the rules of the game or the rules of the society. So when you live in the mundane or material society, there are certain rules of behavior and etiquette. How we deal with seniors, how we deal with equals, it's the same. How you deal with your grandmother is not the same way you deal with your younger brother. The way you speak, the way you talk, walk, act. The same way, the way you deal with the senior Vaishnavas is not the same way you deal with your god brother or god sister. It's not all one. So in the normal material society, we can suffer setback or suffer some reaction by wrong dealings with our relatives, with our parivar. And so the same thing in the society, but the society of Vaishnavas is special because it's God's society. Society of God men and God women. And not only are the Vaishnavas looking at our behavior, but God himself is observing, because the Vaishnavas are the personal family of God, whereas your material family is not really the personal family of Krishna. It's your gotra. Kashyap gotra, Gautam gotra, Kapila gotra, Alagalaga gotra. But when you come in the Vaishnav family, you come in the one gotra. It's called Achyuta gotra, the family of God. God's gotra, Achyuta gotra, Krishna's gotra. So then he's the godfather of the gotra. He's the grand godfather, the Pitamaha. So whatever you do to the least of my creation, that you do unto me. So the Vaishnava is a limb of the Lord, like the demigods are the limb of the universal form, or the Shiradakshaya Vishnu, the demigods are his limbs, executing various functions in the material world. So the Vaishnavas are the limbs of the Lord. The limbs, they're part of his family. So if we offend the Vaishnavas, we're offending God. That's why God takes the offense to him, to himself. When Dravasa Muni offended Ambarish, Krishna took it personally. Dravasa did not offend Vishnu. Did he? No. It was a one-on-one. He offended Ambarish Maharaj. And Vishnu was far away, invisible, not on the scene. Vishnu was not there, not to be seen, apparently not to be seen. Vishnu was in Vaikuntha. Ambarish was on this planet. Dravasa Muni was on this planet. He was not there in the assembly. But he knows. He knew about the offense. He knew all about it because he felt it. He felt the offense. So, and then as soon as Dravasa offended Ambarish, and then he went everywhere trying to get some relief. Went to Brahma, Shiva, other demigods. Please help me. Because as soon as he offended him, then he was attacked by the time factor. The time factor is Krishna's chakra. You can understand, my life is running out. I'm going to lose my life. I made a serious offense. I'm getting the reaction. So the chakra is chasing him everywhere. Imminent death. He was about to die. Death means no more time. When death comes, your time is out. So one aspect of the chakra, Sudarshan chakra, the wheel, there's 360 spokes on the chakra, and they represent the 360 phases of time. So this is the chakra of the Lord. If it's released upon someone, then their time is out. They're finished. Someone cuts off your head, they don't have too much time left. Your watch is on your wrist, but your head is off your shoulders. Your watch is watching your head fly off your shoulders. Your watch, right? It's called your watch, Gadi. You say Gadi? So the time is ticking, but your life is finished. Right? The watch is on your wrist. Da, 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 da. Your head is off your shoulders. Your time is over. So Dravasa was pursued by Vishnu's chakra. He went here and there and everywhere. Then he went to Vishnu and said, hey, this is your chakra. This is yours, isn't it? I think your name is on it. Made by Vishnu. Made in Vishnu Loka. Japanese technology. Our research and engineering. R&E, Japan. Vishnu chakra. Autograph model. Pierre Vishnu. So yes, this is my chakra. Oh, please, call it off. It's getting too close. I feel I'm about to die. My time is running out. When your time runs out, you feel that you're about to die. About to die means no more time. So that's what Devasa said. I feel like I'm about to die. He said, I'm sorry. I know everything you've done. Although you didn't think I was there. I was invisible. I'm in Vaikuntha. You can't see me. And you were on the earth planet offending. But you offended my devotee. I'm the head of the family. He's in the Achyuta Gotra. And I am that Achyuta. If you're offending anyone in my family, you're offending me. And I take it personally. Like we have a phrase in English. Oh, don't take it. Don't take it personally. Just because I kicked your dog down the stairs. It's only your dog. It's not you. Don't take it personally. No, I do take it personally. That's my dog. I have mamta for that kuta. That kuta is mine. He's my favorite dog. And you kicked him. So we had the phrase, don't take it personally. Oh, listen, Vishnu, don't take it personally. I only offended your devotee. Why are you taking it personally? Why? Because I am the supreme personality of Godhead. And these are the supreme personalities of servitorship, Godhead. Right? They're also Bhagavat. They are Bhagavats. They are Bhagavats Nayam Bhagavan. They are Mahabhagavats Nayam Bhagavan. You've offended the Bhagavat, you've offended Bhagavan. And maybe the Bhagavat doesn't have a chakra in his back pocket, but I do. So when you offend the Bhagavat, then he can't throw a chakra at you, and that's not his nature. He's very kind and forgiving. But I'm not forgiving. I take it personally. Oh, Vishnu, don't take it personally. I only offended your devotee. Why are you so uptight? No, I am uptight. He's a Chuta Gotra, and I am a Chuta. You've offended my devotee. Now watch this. Boing. Ooh. So that's why this is an ever-present danger in the society of devotees. Because the society of devotees is called the Chuta Gotra. It's Krishna's family. Offending the devotee means offending Krishna. That's why the reaction is severe. It says in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, in chapter 4, I believe, one of the last verses, it says, Ayush Vidhi. It's describing Kamsa and how on the wedding day of his sister, or cousin sister, Devaki, he was driving the chariot and there was an Akashvani that said, the 8th child of your sister will kill you. He said, what? He took out his sword and grabbed her by the beini. He got to cut her head off right on the chariot. Kshatriyas are extremely unpredictable. And Kshatriyas are not known for their tatikshava. Tatikshva kurunika surida savadehanam. The sadhus, sadhubhushanam. The ornament of a sadhu is tatikshava. Tatikshava. Sarvo sarubhushanam. That is one of their characteristics. The first one is listed. Tatikshva kurunika surida savadehana. This Kapila Shiksha, Kapila Muni, 3rd canto. He's describing, his mother says, what are the lakshana, the characteristics of the sadhu? Tatikshva kurunika. He tolerates. All right, there's an Akashvani. Okay, let's see. She hasn't been married. It's the first day of her marriage. Let me wait at least for 5 or 6 children before I cut her head off. If I will. But the Kshatriya is, oh, the 8th child. So in that regard, due to this offense, and then at the end of the chapter it says, anyone who offends a great soul, if anyone offends a great soul, it says Ayu, says his lifespan, Ayu, says his riddhi, his wealth, his lifespan, his wealth, his fame, yasho, so many things are destroyed due to that offense. It's in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 4, one verse. So the dangers of Vaishnava Aparada are there. So therefore, we're living in the society of Vaishnavas and living among sadhus, we can greatly advance by their blessings, by their kripa. So it's kind of like Prabhupada sometimes uses analogy of gambling, although we don't gamble. But in the practice of gambling, or the malpractice, let's say, of gambling, the wrong activity, people put up wagers. They bet. So they play cards or whatever they do, and then they bet, and they say, listen, like Krishna, like Balaram, he's a Kshatriya, and Kshatriyas often do betting, they gamble. It's permissible for them to gamble. So the Pandavas and Kauravas, they would sometimes gather and play chess, and they would gamble. So Balaram was playing chess, and they were gambling 1 lakh, 10,000 gold coins, and then 50,000 gold coins, and 100,000. So Prabhupada used the analogy, when you're gambling, you can win a lot, or you can lose a lot. You say, you put up 10,000 golden coins, and if you lose, you lose 10,000 gold coins. If you win, you get 10,000, and double your earnings. So Vaishnava Sangha is like that. You can win and make tremendous advancement, or you can lose and lose everything, even your life. Ayush, it says Ayu. Ayu means life. Wealth, life, fame, position. So it's a delicate point. So therefore, the Chaitanya Bhagavad, repeatedly, this is what we call a recurring theme of the Chaitanya Bhagavad, Vaishnava Parad. Someone might say, oh, why do they always dwell on this Vaishnava Parad? Because we're always in the midst of making a Vaishnava Parad, either being a conspirator in Vaishnava Parad, being a perpetrator of Vaishnava Parad, or being a recipient of Vaishnava Parad. Conspirator means that a few people get together and make a Vaishnava Parad, and you're a part of it. And then perpetrator means that you actually do the Vaishnava Parad, or recipient means that someone offends you. So one way or another, you're involved. You're implicated. And you get the reaction to different degrees. So as we heard earlier, when Lord Chaitanya, when he was showing his Vaikuntham Bhav, his Mahaprakash Leela, and Sridhar was meeting him, Lord Chaitanya said to him, you are every day spending half of your income, Kolavetra Sridhar, to worship Ganga. Ganga Devi is your Ishta. But don't you know I am the father of Ganga? I am the father of Ganga. And as soon as Kolavetra Sridhar heard Vishambhar say that, he thought this was an offense to his Ishta Devi. So he put his fingers in his ears, he blocked his ears, and he shouted, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu! Because he had only known Lord Chaitanya as Nimai Pandit, the 10-year-old genius, arrogant scholar who was arguing with him. He thought he was just this puffed-up Brahmin boy who would argue with him over the price of the banana leaves. He had not yet realized and witnessed that he was actually the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the King of all Kings, the Omnipotent One, the Ishwar, the Parama Krishna, the Maheshwara. Oh, you're offending my... What are you saying? You upstart? You're saying that you're the father of Ganga? Ah, I dare you. Vishnu is the father of Ganga. What is this? What are you saying? So the same thing is that we, living in with Vaishnava, we hear sometimes some offense and we block our ears and run away. So this is... Vrindavanas Thakur is reminding us of this theme. So this chapter kind of ends like this, describing this philosophy and these points about this Vaishnava Parad. This is text 241 of chapter 9. Vishaya Madanda Sava Kichui Na Jani Vidya Made Dana Made Vaishnava Na Chine. People blinded with pride over material enjoyment do not know anything. They cannot recognize a Vaishnav due to pride born of education and wealth. Vishaya mad anda sabha kichwi na jani. Become mad, blind with mundane knowledge. Bhagavata padiya o karo bhudinash nityananda nindakare yahibeka nash. Even after studying Srimad Bhagavatam, one's intelligence may be ruined. For anyone who blasphemes Nityananda is certainly vanquished. So of course, this verse he's describing the situation 450 years ago, as now, there are many Bhagavat Saptahawalas that study Srimad Bhagavatam and even speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, but they themselves are complete Mayavadis. But they know that it's a very... These speakers are preying on the sentiments, preying on the sentiments of the religious people of India. They know from Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, and also Bhagavad Puran itself in the Mahatmya section, the glories of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashtapreshu, Abhadreshu, Abhadra, anything that's inauspicious becomes Nash, becomes destroyed by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, even briefly. What to speak of for 7 days? This is a specific type of seva, Bhagavat seva, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam 7 days continuously, saptaha, sapta means seven, and morning and night. So the religious pious people, they want to take advantage of that, of accumulating some punya and sukriti to purify their existence and to endear them to Vishnu. So they assemble en masse to hear the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the elaboration by qualified speakers. But if a Mayavadi simply puts up a poster and says, Advaita Gyan, Advaya Gyan philosophy, being spoken here for 7 days, please assemble. No, five people will come. One person will come. Some, but very few are very interested in sitting around for 7 days hearing impersonal philosophy or Advaya Gyan, Brahma Gyan. But people are very attracted, especially in Kali Yuga. It says, Sri Shudra Sambhava, Kali Yuga, they're very attracted to, everyone is, Janmana Jayate Shudro. Kali Yuga, Janmana Jayate Shudro. Janmana Jayate Shudro. Then in the age of Kali, most people have the quality of Shudra by birth. Not very high class, not very good behavior, not very pure thought or pure ambition. People are mostly only interested in sense gratification in Kali Yuga, and even very low order and rather gross sense gratification. Intoxication is very popular. That's Shudra enjoyment. Drugs, booze, cigarettes, all these things. Very popular. So people have the nature, the sabhav of Shudras in Kali Yuga, and it's also the nature of Shudras to like movies. And movies are very popular. People go mad. So-called cultured, educated, proud, so-called noble, proud people are mad over movies. Movies are nothing but stories, and stories are very appealing to Shudras. Higher class people, in the olden days, they were very intrigued and attracted to Naya, philosophy, Naya, logic. But low class people, they like stories and they like drama, music and dance. Music and dance and romance. So what is a movie? Music, dance, and romance. That's all a movie is. Have you ever anyone's attended a movie here? At least once? Possible? Is there music? Is there dance? Is there romance? And that's all, those are the favorite activities of Shudras. Therefore, we are qualified as Shudras. This is only Shastra. This is the statement. That Brahmins and even Kshatriyas in the old days, they were interested in combat or challenge. But even philosophy and tattva, sit around and discuss philosophy and argue over in logic. This was how they would spend time. And the Shudras would do drama. All Shudras would get together and do drama and do plays. Actors are Shudras, according to Varnashram Dharma. Now they're $5 billion Shudras. You can study the Bhagavatam, and your intelligence may be ruined. For anyone who blasphemes Nityananda is certainly vanquished. So these Mayavadis, they speak on the Bhagavatam, without mentioning any names, and they're completely Mayavad. And they have no concern at all with any personal aspect of God, what to speak of Nityananda. Nityananda is simply Balaram. He is Balaram, Lord Balaram. And they don't believe. They take the Bhagavatam to describe all impersonal, all these innocent, And religious, sentimental people come to sit there to hear the Bhagavatam, to acquire some punya, to benefit themselves, to increase their purity and potential to realize Vishnu or the personal Godhead. And then these 7 days they sit morning and night and hear all this Advaita and Brahman Gyan all twisted out of the Bhagavatam. Because we like to hear stories, and the Bhagavatam is full of stories. So stories are for Kali Yuga. And that's why this Saptaha is recommended. Sit for 7 days, hear all the beautiful stories of Bhagavatam, and become attached to Bhagavan. Become pure by the process. Become elevated by the hearing. Become attached to the Lord by submission, submissively hearing. But it says here, so this verse is talking about that, Vrindavan Das Thakur, even they study the Bhagavatam, but their intelligence is spoiled because they're offenders to the Bhagavatam. They don't accept Nityananda, which means they don't accept the guru who's representing the personal concept. And Veda Vyasa was a personality. He was a Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeta Vichaham. The compiler of the Vedas is Krishna, Shakti Vesh Avatar. He appeared as a Shakti of Vesh. Veda Vyasa is a Jiva, Jiva Tattva. Empowered, the Lord entered him to bring out this Vedic literature. And the Bhagavatam is written by a person all about the Supreme Person. But you're so foolish. So many smartas are speaking Bhagavatam, so many mayavadis, so many foolish pretenders are speaking Bhagavatam. So they don't accept the personality of Godhead, and they certainly don't accept Nityananda. Sridhara Pailavara Kariyastavan Ihadye Shunetari Mile Premadan. Anyone who hears the prayers of Sridhar and the benediction he received from the Lord will obtain the wealth of Prem, or love of Godhead. So this is the Adhyaya Falshruti, the blessing that's given at the end of this chapter of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, awarded to us by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And when he appeared 5,000 years ago as Veda Vyas, the same personality, and compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Sri Krishna, then there, in that grant, he also gives so many benedictions and falshrutis at the end of different chapters. So that same standard is here. So we heard all the prayers. Many of you have come for all the classes. So this is the blessing. This is the Mahaprasad. There's this, the Sunday feast, Kirtan, then there's the Pravachan, then there's Mahaprasad. The love feast, as they call in the West. Sunday love feast. Please come to our Sunday love feast. This was how they started attracting large numbers of devotees to ISKCON in the early days, by giving free food, because a lot of people were wandering all around the cities of America searching for something, for God, for meaning, for friendship, for new dimension, new outlook in life. Leaving the villages, leaving the countryside, leaving the provincial viewpoints of the country, and coming into the cities to find to broaden their horizon and perspective of life by associating and experimenting with various herbs and other methodologies to try to become enlightened. And therefore they were hungry because they're wandering around, no money, sleeping in the park, here and there. And so Prabhupada, his disciples said, Prabhupada, on Sunday, maybe once a week we could, because we don't have enough money to do it every day, because we were very poor in the early days of ISKCON, especially in New York. The devotees themselves were poor. And just collecting day to day a few pennies and rupees here, or what do you say, rupees. And then they would scrape their money together, and not much money actually, they would go around here and there and collect old food. I remember myself, we joined in 1975, and even we would do the same thing on Sunday, although, because we collected lots of money, but just to save money. In the beginning they did it deliberately because they had no money, but later we did it to save more money for book distribution. We would go and collect old food. Here you have the central market. Not far from here is the central vegetable market. I think it's in Okla. Is it Okla? Some place where all the trucks come in and dump off all the vegetables, and all the smaller grocer wallahs, they go there, the sabji wallahs, and they buy, and then they bring back to your local area, Lajpat Nagar, etc., and then you go and usually buy there. We buy from the central market because we're big purchasing for the institution. So these markets usually have a lot of half-old vegetables. I don't know about India, but in America, if it's not pukka, they can't sell it. So if it's sort of karab or but half okay, the devotees would go there and say, "Oh, you have anything old? Oh, take that." So we'd get 50 kilos, 100 kilos of cherries, 100 kilos of bananas or whatever. And out of that, they'd say, "Yes, take all this." And we'd load it into our truck, some old truck, because I went many times from San Francisco Temple and L.A. Temple. I'm not telling something I read in a book. I did it directly. And we went and we collected and we piled all these 50 or 100 kilos of bananas in the truck. Took back to the temple. Then all the brahmacharis would sit down and go through the 100 kilos. And 50 kilos were perfect. 50 kilos of bananas were perfect and 50 kilos were junk or karab. So then we would peel those 50 kilos and go to the dairy store where they're selling milk and all these things. They have a date on it. Last day of sale, because they only 2 days they can keep the milk and yogurt and all that. So we go to the big supermarkets. "Do you have any old milk and old this and that?" And when they say yes, in the back, and we'd get 300 kilos of yogurt or 200 kilos of yogurt or whatever. It was old date. And then we'd open up, not bad. And then we put it all together and we'd get buttermilk. I think you call it chach. So they sell in a cardboard box, like you buy milk, or I don't know, here you buy a plastic bag. But there they have a little cardboard box with wax inside or something. And we buy buttermilk. And then we'd buy the buttermilk, and then the cherries, and then we'd get sugar, but maybe we'd have to buy some sugar sometimes. We would have to spend a few rupees. So a few items, we buy the salt and buy it. But all the dairy products, free. All the fruits and vegetables, free. That's pretty good. And then you beg the Indians, "Oh, please bring a can of oil, please bring some salt." And they would bring some, maybe grains. And then we put the Sunday feast together. And so the hippies and all the people would come for the Sunday love feast. They would wonder what kind of, what's called the nectar drink, the Hare Krishna nectar drink. And no one knew what it was going to be every week because it would depend on what we begged. If we got cherries, it would be cherry nectar. If we baked bananas, it would be banana nectar. It was always buttermilk because we always got that for free. And then whatever we could put into it. And so it was always exciting for us and for them. So we'd go somewhere and they would have peaches. "Oh, I wonder how peaches and buttermilk." "Okay, I'll try it." Then somehow it was always wonderful, like Amrit. So this is early days, how things went on. So this is the, I don't know how we got over there, but the Sunday love feast was the blessing that we got after the end of the week. That's Shruti Phal at the end of the chapter. So this is what he's telling us, that we get the wealth of prema dan. Prema bhakti haya prabhu charana ravinde, se krishna paide vaisham nahi ninde. When it does not blaspheme the Vaishnavas, attains Krishna by developing love and devotion at his lotus feet. Now we'll get into this whole theme about aparad. That if, in other words, you win very big, if you live with Vaishnavas, serve them humbly and sincerely with love and affection, and always and hear Harikatha and chant Shuddhanam and Puranam, then very quickly, by the combination of all those devotional factors, one will attain prema, Krishna prema. So this is what awaits one, that great victory, that great wealth one can attain in this assembly. So that's what he said. He precedes his discussion with this. This is what you can get if you don't. If you don't blaspheme the Vaishnavas, you can get Krishna. Because you'll develop love and devotion. Prema bhakti haya prabhu charanaravinde. Se Krishna pai Vaishnav nahi ninde. You say Vaishnav ninda. Satam Nindam. Satam Ninda is the first offense to the holy name. To blaspheme the Vaishnavas. Sat. Saru Ninda. Satam Ninda. Saru Ninda. So Vaishnav Ninde means to offend the Vaishnavas. So if we don't offend the Vaishnavas, then Krishna Pai. We attain Krishna. And what else? We get Prema Bhakti for Charanaravinda. Prabhu Chananaravinda means Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rasaraj. Rasaraj Sri Krishna. So we heard Sridhar's prayers and we heard the benediction. Lord Chaitanya blessed him with bhakti yoga and prema. We heard that, and if we don't offend anyone, then this blessing will come to us. Now, what happens if we do blessing? This is the downside. That was the upside, or the good result. Now, what's the bad result? Anindaya nahika karya sabe papalabha etake nakare ninda mahamaha bhaga. There is no gain in the act of blasphemy. One simply occurs sin. Pap lab, labha. Therefore, the most fortunate persons do not engage in blasphemy. Maha mahabhag, nakare ninda. Maha mahabhag. So if you're very, very, very fortunate and very, very intelligent, do not do Vaishnav ninda. Aninduka haije, sakrit krishna bale, satya satya krishna tare, udari bahile. Krishna will certainly deliver anyone who chants his names without offense or blaspheme. So this is the guarantee. Sakrit. Aninduka hai ye sakrit krishna bale. Satya satya krishna tare udhariba hele. Udhariba. He will deliver. Tare udhariba. Krishna will certainly, satya satya. It's a very interesting way. This satya satya means it's the truth. Believe it. Satya satya krishna tare udhariba hele. Krishna bhale. Anyone who chants bhale, any sakrit, anyone just once chants Krishna's name. It's true. Satya satya, like satyam. It's true. Krishna will certainly deliver anyone. Satya said such in it. Vrindavan Das Thakur is using extremely emphatic expression in Bengali. This is a very rare usage in Bengali. A double word. We don't know very much about Bengali grammar, but something. And because it's similar to Sanskrit. Satya, satya. Not, it could say satya krishna tari udhar. Satya, satya. It's, in other words, in English, someone says, it's true. Believe it. I mean, believe me. And he said, all right, I believe you. Because you might think that your audience may look incredulous or like they don't believe you, like they have some doubt. Say, it's true. And the person's saying, really? No, it's really true. It's true. And no, really? And they're looking like, no, it's really true. And he's, well, okay. Satya, satya. Krishna tare udhariva kele. So Krishna will definitely, it's true. He will deliver anyone who chants his names without ninda, without offense or blasphemy. Vaishnavera paye mora e namaskar. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda hoka pranamor. I offer my respectful obeisances at the feet of the Vaishnavas. Let Sri Chaitanya Nityananda be my life and soul, pranamor. Pranamor, my pran. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chanda Jana Vrindavana Dasa Tachu Parajugeghan. Accepting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chandra as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of the lotus feet. Thus ends Madhyakanda chapter 9, the Lord's 21-hour ecstasy and descriptions of Sridhar and other devotees' characteristics.